The first kind of practice is that we pay attention to our breathing in order to pacify our body and our mind. Breathing in, breathing out, making the breathing peaceful and quiet. We realize rest and peace in our body and our mind. And then the next thing, because of our breathing, we can look more deeply into things. First, we are there. We are really there because of our conscious breathing. And because we are really there, we can see what is going on in four domains of life: body, feelings, mind, and objects of mind. First, we recognize things as they happen and as they go. And that is the practice of mere attention. But the practice of mere attention is already very important. Because if you don't practice that, things inside yourself and around you will come and go like phantoms, like a ghost. They are not real. So when you practice drinking a cup of tea, you breathe, you bring the cup of tea up, you smile at it, and you say something like, the cup of tea in my two hands, mindfulness is whole perfectly. My mind and my body dwell in the very here and now. You do that in order to make the tea appear as something real. You do that to help the tea recuperate its highest position in the cosmos. And when the tea has become real, you, the drinker of the tea, become real also. This is because that is. This is because that is. This is not because that is not. You become real and alive when the tea become real. That is why when I pick up my piece of tofu, I have to make it real in order for myself to be real. So that is the practice of mindfulness. You practice mindfulness in order to make things real to you, and in order for you to be real, and you let the encounter to be possible. And life can only be possible with that kind of real encounter. So the practice of mere attention, mindfulness, is already a lot. But first of all, the first time you encounter a flower in that way, the flower is much more real to you already. But if you continue to live in mindfulness like that, the deeper, the more deeply you will see into the nature of the cup of tea or of the flower. And if you live mindfully like that, one day you understand the true nature of the flower, the very roots of the flower. It means the non-flower element within the flower. And then you can be at peace with the flower and you can help the flower. Otherwise, you cannot help the flower. The client that you are trying to help should also be looked at the same, with this, in the same way, in order for you to understand deeply his or her roots. And that kind of insight will help you, will show you what to do and what not to do in order to help that person. So meditation is quite important for therapists. If you are a good therapist, no matter you say that you are practicing meditation or not, I believe you do, because you know to look at things in order to see their nature somehow, in the depth of their nature. The difference is that in Buddhism we have elaborated many, many methods of doing that. When we look at the flower deeply enough, we see non-flower elements within it, including the garbage. And when we look at the garbage, we can also see the non-garbage elements within the garbage. We can see the flower in there. We can see cucumber. We can see lettuce. I think that the good organic gardeners, they can see that. Even if they don't practice meditation a lot, when they look at the garbage heap, they can see cucumber and lettuce. That is why they are wise enough not to throw the garbage away. They keep the garbage in order to transform them back into cucumber and lettuce. If the flower is on her way to the garbage should be on her way to the flower. And this is the most important Buddhist teaching to me. That is called the teaching of non-duality. This is because that is, and if that is not, this cannot be. So the flower is not considering the garbage as her enemy. That's important. And the garbage is not depressed. The garbage is not looking at the flower as his enemy. In fact, they realize the nature of interbeing in each other, so that is why they don't panic. The flower does not panic when she knows that she is on the way to the garbage. Yeah, I think that is important because all of us know that we are going to die someday. But there are people who suffer very much from that idea, but there are people who can smile at that idea. And that makes a difference between an unenlightened person and a not enlightened person. You know, in my tradition, the old people, especially in the old time, they are not afraid of dying. A grandfather would enjoy very much going to the carpenter in order to select the kind of wood that will for his coffin. They want a beautiful coffin, and they want to select the wood by themselves, and then they supervise the making of the coffin. During my time as a child, I saw many aged people doing so, and they were so happy to bring the coffin home and to place it in a piece, in a room close to their room. And going in and out, they look at it smiling. They love it because not many people have that kind of privilege. So the children, if they know what their parents want, they try in order to satisfy their parents' needs. And I saw a person who, from time to time, got into it, lie down to see whether it's still fit. And when they sat on the porch, watching their grandchildren to play, how they smile beautifully. They know that their children are going to carry them into the future. So they do everything in order to bring their wisdom, their joy, in order to transmit to their children and grandchildren. It's very wise. In our time, not many people can do that. And they are very afraid of dying, and they try to ignore that fear in themselves. But obviously, I know of many people who consider dying as something very natural. And if you study and practice the Prajna Paramita, you know that nothing can die. Nothing can become nothing. To be born means from nothing you become something, and that does not happen. We observe, we cannot find a single thing that has come from nothing. That is why the concept of birth is a concept that we have invented. We cannot pick up something that we think that it will become nothing. But something must become something else. When we burn a sheet of paper, the sheet of paper doesn't become nothing. it becomes something. It can become the smoke, become the heat going into the cosmos. It becomes some ash, and it continue to be in different forms. And breaking the thought of birth and death is the practice of meditation also. And when you arrive at that, you smile at birth and death, and you know that you have never been born, and you will never die. And people who have attained that kind of insight, well, they ride on waves of birth and death beautifully and joyfully, like Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara, described by Chinese and Vietnamese Buddhists as riding on the tide of birth and death.